This is the Jaguar Scoreboard Show. Jaguar Scoreboard Show. Presented by FanDuel. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, begins right now.
The FanDuel Scoreboard Show, here we go. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Jags fall 30-6 to the Houston Texans, and they finish the season 5-11, and we'll find out soon the draft order for 2016. Yes.
Looking at some rankings, some standings right now. Best I can figure is the Jags will have the 7th pick in the draft. Yeah. That is, I don't know what would happen in terms of a tie break if San Fran were to win today against St. Louis. They would match Jaguars with a 5-11 record. But Miami winning moved the Jags up a spot. Would have been nice for Baltimore to hold on as well. And San Diego, that's another one there. San Diego, if they beat Denver, would fall behind the Jags as well. They trailed Denver 7-3 right now. Of course, they have the head-to-head victory over Jacksonville. So right now, I think right around 7, maybe 6, maybe 8, when it's all said and done, JP, in that neck of the woods.
Well, it's better than 2 and 3, or 2 or 3, you know, the last few years, I guess.
It's better than earning 2 or 3, but right now I'd rather have the 2nd or 3rd pick in the draft rather than the 7th or 8th, depending on which direction you're going to go. But I understand what you're saying. Yeah, it's better. The further away you get from earning that top pick in the draft, the better. But once the season's over, then it turns to who are the best players you can get on your squad, and a handful of them will be off the board. But that's the story every year. They're good players every draft. You just got to draft them. You got to draft the right guys.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. And obviously the story today, the lack of pass blocking for this Jaguars. A lot of things, issues. We start with the Jags offensive line, though. 8 sacks of Blake Bortles today. 3 from Watt, 3.5 from Merciless today from both sides of the line. A lot of those from the left side, though.
No holes in the running game, which could help slow down that pass rush, and that's been a continuing problem as well.
So the first time in a while that they've had a game this bad.
Right.
I can't remember the last time it was this bad of a day on the offensive line.
Honestly, I think, JP, really, as when you consider all the factors, I think it's the worst game of the year all around. You look at, say, all right, New England beat them 51-17, but that was the defending Super Bowl champs at home early in the season, healthy, peak of their powers, all that stuff. It's not ideal, but sometimes you get outclassed by a football team, and the Jags weren't ready to play on the level of the New England Patriots. You should be ready to play on the level of the Houston Texans. This is a team, yes, they're going to the postseason, but not a spectacular club whatsoever. They have been playing better defensively over the last 6 or 7 games, but the Jags today put up very little resistance. Basically, it seemed like we were kind of almost, half kidding. Are they playing rock, paper, scissors to see who lines up on the right side of the defensive line? Because they took turns running around and through Luke Jokel today. It was probably Luke Jokel's worst game of his career. And looking at some numbers, Ryan O'Halloran had tweeted out after the game, through the first 15 contests, Jokel had allowed 5 total sacks all year long. Based on, now it may seem like more, but the ones that were assigned to him today, I don't think there were any question that 3 or 4 of them were directly on Luke Jokel. Is this a one-on-one situation? He couldn't handle those guys coming off the edge.
And it started with Merciless, and then Watts flipped over there.
Right.
Too,
Watt was like, hey, well, really? You got 3.5
Listen,
now?
Whitney, you're going over on this side.
Let me take a turn on that side as well. Look, J.J. Watt's phenomenal. Whitney Merciless is a good player. Guess what? You're going to play them twice next year, too. You're going to play them twice a year after that. You better figure out a way to block those guys. And right now, 76 had more than its hands full today in that regard.
So we'll see what happens on that front in the offseason. The other side, though, is the pass rush for the defense, or lack thereof. A lot of this season, it has been a big issue. The sack numbers, okay, whatever, the sack numbers. But it's more the other things that happen, the hurries. affecting the quarterback, affecting throws that go down the field with that feel of a rush. There was just no feel of a rush, no constant feel all year.
Yeah, I thought early in the game today they had a little success blitzing. You know, Peyton Thompson got home on one. That was a nicely designed play, a different look that we haven't seen before. That aspect of it didn't bother me today because we knew that was where they were at.
Absolutely. And
as we said all week long and in the pregame, well, we'd like to say there's a key to the game is getting pressure, but you can't really expect it with the personnel that they have right now, and they've tried just about everything. So, you know, you threw the kitchen sink with a few blitzes in there today. And overall, it's not like DeAndre Hopkins burned you on those. It's not like they picked him up and Hoyer was throwing to Hopkins for 200 yards today, but he did enough, and he did enough checking down to those running backs who had about six for about 60, I think, combined. But they had a long one called back as well. It just seemed like any time they needed it to get a key first down, that little swing pass was right there for them too. So issues all across the board, offense and defense.
Oh, yes.
355-NFL-1 is the number. And we're going to get out to you. Let's start with Dean on the south side who wants to check in first today on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hello, Dean. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. I always enjoy all your shows across the line there on 1010 as well as the chat coverage. As a season ticket holder, I'm going to receive the correspondence in a few weeks about renewing, and I've already decided to renew because I'm interested in watching the NFC North and the AFC West. What chance do the Jags have, obviously, with Gus Bradley getting the ultimatum, Shad Khan on Tuesday, that's like next year, get it done or goodbye, that they can do it in 1 year, which they couldn't do in 3 years as far as turning it around. Like you say, Joko is a swinging door today. Defensive line, hopefully with Fowler, and to get someone in the draft, but can they really do it? I mean, it's kind of like college football. If February's your biggest day of the year, then you're kind of in trouble. If you're not, you know, playing exciting football in November and January, then, you know, why bother? I think the Jags, I mean, yeah, free agency's exciting, the draft's exciting, but can they really get it done in 2016? I mean, you guys follow them pretty close, and I just, like I said, I'm going to be down there regardless. So, what's your perspective?
Thank you, Dean. They can, JP, whether they will. I mean, it's a tall order, right? But you can. Look, you got your offense. You added 8 or 9 points per game on average, at least prior to today's debacle. But you took a significant step forward offensively this year. Development of some young guys. You have more holes to fill on the other side. This year's offense was you got a coordinator in who seemed to fit Blake Bortles much better than Jed Fish did and Greg Olsen. And you had young guys that continued a rapid development, like Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. Those guys were phenomenal. T.J. Yeldon, I think, will be much better next year now that he's gotten his feet wet in the National Football League. The question is up front, can you block well enough in the run game and in pass protection? They got better, believe it or not, I think, at that this year, but today was not an indication of that improvement. Now, next year, Fowler, is he going to be healthy? And if he is, what is he going to give you? You don't know yet. I mean, the guy hasn't played in the National Football League. Will you get Sendarek Marks back somewhere close to his 2014 form or something approaching that? Can you get Telvin Smith to stay healthy all year long? And Aaron Colvin and Devon House, I think those are guys, and Roy Miller, that you have somewhat of a core, but you need a lot of other pieces. I mean, guys like Odrick are okay as part of a defensive line rotation. He's a solid, serviceable player. Not much of a difference maker out there. I didn't think Dan Scuda really made some difference-making plays. So look, you need help on every level of the defense, and that's the question. Can you fix it all in one offseason? You might be able to. Teams do turn around in the National Football League. The Jags have been trying to take this step-by-step methodical process, improve internally. They're going to have to get some external improvement this year. They're going to have to find pass rush in the draft and free agency, whether it's frontline guys or it's guys like someone like Olivier Vernon from the Miami Dolphins who can come in here and give you something, give you a half dozen sacks and give you more pressure than you're getting down in, down out right now.
Can they turn it around? Six of the losses this year were by one score, so or less. So, I mean, you win three of those, guess what? You've turned it around this year, you know? I mean, that's if a ball bounces here, if you make a field goal here, this or that, a play here or there.
Every one of those close losses, you can find a close win.
Absolutely.
And go the same way.
You can go the other way on
that
also.
But it's possible. I'm not trying to tell you that I'm expecting it. Right now, it's hard to after those 3 hours that we just witnessed, hard to envision a major turnaround because you're getting left with that bad taste in your mouth right now.
Oh, it doesn't taste good.
It doesn't taste good. And for anybody who thought, oh, yeah, we're going to, this is momentum, this is going to be an indicator for the offseason, let's hope not.
Yeah.
Let's hope that's not the case. Let's get Saqib in here next. Thank you, Dean, for the call. Happy New Year, Saqib. What's going on?
What's up, boys?
Hey, man.
You know, I think, I know you guys are going to kill me, and Tony Boselli, if he's listening, I know he's going to kill me for saying this. I think Joko is one of the worst pickups that we have done in many, many years, and we have had some bad pickups here in Jacksonville. I think Joko is not going to improve. I think he's a joke, and I think we need to move away from this kid because he's not going to improve next year. I believe in that. I don't think I've seen in the last 3 years, he's a joke. Okay, and I hope to God that we get rid of this kid because he's a joke, and I can't wait till next year. Have a good one, man.
All right, thanks, Saqib. They're not getting rid of him.
Don't get rid of the guys.
But if somebody comes in and pushes him, JP, they better be open to the idea that this guy is not some, you know, sacred cow that's untouchable out there in the starting lineup. Guys can get better. I'm not saying you will, but guys can get better. You're not just going to toss them aside. What's your alternative if you toss them out, right? I mean, Josh Wells is a player you'd like to see maybe push him. I think if the right guy is available to him in the draft, I'm open to taking a left tackle. But I'll say this, if you take a left tackle and you're going to take one in the top 10, you better be ready to start him right away. Otherwise, you're just spinning your wheels here. If the guy's not ready to step in right away and be your surefire starter, then don't spend a draft pick on a left tackle in the top 10 of the NFL draft.
There have been some decent games by Joko this year, and one or two plays in a game here or there have been bad, you know, where things stand out and fans get upset. This was by far his worst game of his career, and there's no hiding that fact.
An abysmal game.
Not even close. So,
right, it is the lasting impression.
Right,
it's the lasting
impression of a season that I think overall was better than the year before.
I'm curious as to where he would have graded out in the Jaguars, you know, weekly grading through last week. You know, because he did, like you said, he had his downs, but he also, as the whole, played better. Yeah. He wasn't just a swinging gate like he was at times in his first couple seasons, but today
he was.
He went. Yep. Not only did he go back, he went beyond. He went. To rock bottom, to where you almost got to start over again. And what I don't want to hear now is, like, you know, we got an off season. Luke's got to get stronger. That's what we've heard now for 3 years as part of. And I understand he spent the first off season rehabbing and couldn't work necessarily just on building strength and all those things. But, you know, you're 3 years into it. Bottom line, you're the second overall pick in the draft. You can say what you like about. It wasn't a star-studded draft. There were Pro Bowlers that came out of that draft. Might not have been many of them. This is the guy you chose to pick. He has got to pick up his play.
Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. If you want to get in, if you incur emergency flood damage at your home or business, don't sit on the sideline. Call the team, the Jags Trust, Surf Pro of Arlington, Surf Pro of Jacksonville South, 721-2230, like it never happened. More of your calls coming up, the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, continues right now.
Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. The FanDuel Scoreboard Show continues after the loss to the Texans today, 30-6. Houston, the division champs in the AFC South, they started 2-5 after going on Hard Knocks in the preseason and finished 9-7. Five quarterbacks this year for the Houston Texans.
Five
different quarterbacks played for the Houston Texans this season, and they are the division champions. Brian Hoyer will lead them into the postseason next week. They'll host an AFC wild card game. The Jaguars are getting set for 2016.
Yeah, it looks like probably the Kansas City Chiefs, I would suspect.
Ooh, pass
if
rush.
I'm not mistaken. Is that right? Or what? They would be they're the fourth seed, right?
Yes,
so, yeah,
right.
They take on the fifth seed. Kansas City looks like they will be the fifth seed.
Pass rush on both sides in that game.
They certainly bring it. If Justin Houston is healthy. I don't know if he's playing this afternoon or not, but he missed the last
I think
couple.
He was out. Yeah, I think he was
out
today.
So, but if he's back, Tom Bahali, let them all beat each other up. I wish the Jags had that opportunity to have somebody – knock Blake Bortles around next week. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, you just got to have a a chip and a chair, is what they say in poker.
And we don't have either one.
We do not have those right now. We do have phone calls, though, so let's get to them at 355-NFL-1. George is in Orlando next up on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, George.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, thanks. What's up?
Can you hear me fine?
We can.
Gotcha. What's up?
Hey, well, I was talking to someone about the game, and pretty much everybody's, like, upset now because we lost, and really, I don't see no reason to be upset. Upset was 2-3 weeks ago when we had an opportunity, but right now, it's time to look forward to the future, and as far as Joker concerned, you know, people can talk about Joker all they want. He had a bad game. No one said anything about him, you know, all year long. So now, if you draft someone, there is nobody in the draft that's day one that's going to be better than Joker. So we can kill that. We can really kill that.
I disagree.
One more. Go ahead.
I disagree. I mean, first of all, I don't know if Laremy Tunsil is going to be there when the Jags pick, but I absolutely disagree that Laremy Tunsil wouldn't come in here as a better player day one than Luke Joker.
Well, I think he would come in with a higher ceiling. Yes, he definitely would. He would come in with a higher ceiling because we don't know about his NFL play.
And are there greater needs with the seventh pick than a left tackle?
Right, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if Laremy Tunsil were the selection by the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'd have zero issue with it whatsoever. I don't think he'll be there. I think he's more likely to be the first pick than to be available with the seventh or eighth pick of the draft. So.
Well, that's possible. It'll just be a stale pick. You know, we're not going to move up or back with that particular pick. So I agree. But one more thing I have to say. I think the Jaguar fans are starting to make the same mistake with Cyprian that we did with Reggie Nelson a few years ago. You know, you see a few missed tackles or whatever, and we want to quickly just get rid of him. Just get rid of him. But yet still, these players are continuously growing, and Reggie Nelson grew into a Pro Bowl player leading the league in interceptions. And then the same thing is going to happen with Cyprian. He's going to be a great player. He doesn't need time.
Okay, Mr. Positivity. I mean, look, he may be. There's nothing to me to indicate that Jonathan Cyprian is going to be a great player, other than everyone wants him to be a great player. What has he shown us that makes us believe he's going to be a great player, other than the fact that he was highly drafted? Honestly, he's a solid player at times, and he's awful in coverage at times. To me, he's average. He's been average at best in his 3 years here. Doesn't mean he can't turn it around, but again, if a guy doesn't play well for you, JP, what are you supposed to do? You don't have a crystal ball. Yeah, are you supposed to wait another 5 years for Reggie Nelson to make the Pro Bowl? Are you supposed to say Terrence Knighton dogged it his final year here? Because the next year he went to Denver, people saw him make a handful of plays in the playoffs, and everyone said, oh, see? Terrible. How'd you let Terrence Knighton get away? Well, how could you re-sign a guy who doesn't play well for you over and over and over again?
Different scene for Knighton, though, the coaching situation. There were some other things going on that year. That was a different – but I know what you mean.
Understand.
I know what you mean.
But it impacted his play on the field. Yes. He did not play well that year. And, look, you hate the idea of nurturing these guys – along, and I don't think the Jags, by the way, probably feel about Joker and Cyprian the way the typical fan does about those guys. They probably believe in their potential more. They're the ones who invested in it. They're the ones who drafted him. But you know, Jonathan Cyprian right now, maybe he does turn into a very special player, but he hasn't come close to that in his 3 years here in Jacksonville. So you know, scholarship doesn't go on forever in the National Football League. He's on scholarship right now as a high second-round pick in the first draft class from Dave Caldwell. Next year is a make-or-break year here in Jacksonville. I hope Cyprian makes it. Well, who doesn't? We all want him to make it. I hope Luke Joeckel makes it. But right now, I would have to bet against both of those guys being long-term impact players here in Jacksonville because I just haven't seen that from them.
Hated seeing him get blown up in the hole today when he came up to try to tackle Blue that time.
I mean, if anything, that's supposed to be his strength.
You're a run
stopper,
right?
This is you going downhill against a guy who is as average as the day is long in the National Football League. Alfred freaking Blue trucked you in the hole. That's your strength, okay? Where are the plays from Jonathan Cyprian? They're not being made.
Nope.
Let's get David on the west side in before we break.
Yes,
David, go ahead.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
I agree. I don't know what that last guy was smoking, but I don't know how many years you got to give a guy. I'm not a Gus Bradley supporter. When you go 5-36, or 12-36, excuse me.
Yeah.
12-36 and you continue to have your job. If I did that at my job, my ass would have been fired last year.
I understand, man. Look, and that, the thing of it is, Shad Khan's made his decision, JP. And that's what it is. And I think he made it. Having made that decision, the announcement of the decision looks smarter by the second, because all that would have been talked about between now and whatever point that Gus Bradley speaks tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock or whatever his wrap-up press conference would be rumors. Is he on the hot seat? Is he out? Is he out? I mean, if he, for all the people who were on a 9 on a scale of 10 on wanting Gus out, those people are up to 17 or so right now after today's performance. So I think the fact that Shad Khan get out ahead of that story is going to serve him very well.
I agree. We'll come back with more of your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll also look at the scoreboard update of later games in Week 17. This is the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, continues right now.
The injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. A few fellas nicked up today. Neil Sterling, concussion. Julius Thomas with an arm injury, came back in the game. And Peyton Thompson, the cornerback, with a right foot injury. Dwayne Brown on the other side, a torn quad tendon for the Houston Texans today.
Sounds painful.
Yes, yes it does. It does. Phone lines are open, by the way. 355-NFL1, 355-6351 is the number.
That is correct, sir, and people are taking advantage of that. So let's go to Robbie on the north side, who I'm told is from Scotland. Hello, Robbie.
Hey, man. What are you doing? How are you guys doing?
We're doing well.
I noticed that the second part, the Houstons come out and they just pounded They pounded the ground game, but we don't seem to have that. Well, how do you explain that?
Oh, they got to block better.
They only scored 6 points.
Right. Well, they got to do a better job on the offensive line. It's all along what we're talking about. JP, they haven't had the ground game going this year too much. That was brilliant, Robbie. Thank you for the call. No, seriously, that's been an issue even prior to Brandon Leonard getting injured, I think. But, look, you don't have T.J. Yeldon out there. You don't have your two best offensive linemen now in Linder and Parnell. Yeah. And that's really where you look to run in the National Football League, is over your right side typically. You know, your left side is more blindside pass protection, is more of a paramount concern. And you get that right tackle, right guard combo, and you go. And whether or not they would have – I assume they would have had more success with Linder. How much more, I'm not sure. Those two guys – I'm pretty comfortable with coming back next year.
Oh, yes.
In every aspect of line play.
Absolutely.
But in terms of just manning up and pushing guys off the ball, center over to left tackle wasn't – now, Wisniewski, that's not – he's more of a technique guy anyway. But they don't have that many mauling guys in that, you know, 60% of that offensive line. We didn't get a whole lot of push in the run game this year. And then – you know, you're without your top tailback. I think that's all those things are factors.
Yeah, that's an issue.
For a team that wants to run the ball.
I think the loss of Linder, looking back on that, is a big part of why this run game struggled this year, especially in the short yardage situations where they couldn't have the, you know, the goal line situations and things like that.
I mean,
you got to have your horse in there to push guys around. You didn't have him.
All right, 355-NFL1. Thank you for the call, Robbie. Let's go to Mike on the north side up next. Hello, Mike.
Hello, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You too.
Okay, guys. I have three things here. Now, there's two other coaches from Pete Carroll's regime, Gus Bradley and Dan Quinn, and it seems like to me that they're both, and this is really with the Jacksonville Jaguars because Dan Quinn's only 1 year in Atlanta, but with Gus Bradley here in Jacksonville, the scheme that he used in Seattle is not working in Jacksonville. Why aren't we using a scheme to fit these guys, you know, attributes here in Jacksonville for some reason? And my second thing is Blake Bortles and these boys in the offense, I love these boys, but we got to protect our quarterback. We need offensive line power. I mean, why are we doing all these slow little check down plays instead of, you know, using a hurry up offense every drive? I mean, when we're doing the hurry up, these boys are scoring, you know, 115 minutes. I'm watching the Seattle Seahawks game right now, and it's 30-6 in the second quarter with 2:08 to go. What's wrong with the Jacksonville Jaguars? We need to be – next year we should be in the playoffs. I've been hard on this team all year, and I listen to you guys every week. This is the team of the AFC South that's going to run the AFC South, I think. nobody's going to tell me that the Jaguars were the worst team in the AFC, in the AFC South. We're not. We're the best team, literally. All across the board.
I think, I appreciate the call. You have an issue with the definition of literally, okay, because they're not the best team in the AFC South.
The Texans are.
The Texans and the Colts are better than them, period, because they both played with inferior quarterback play all season long. Texans played 5 QBs, JP.
Won 9 games.
Andrew Luck played a handful of games, and he was terrible when he did play. And the Colts played with Josh Freeman, who was playing in the Fall Experimental Football League for the Brooklyn something or others. It's a 3-team league. That's the last pro football experience he's had, and he came in and played well today. So you're not the best team. You'd like to think you are, and you may get to there one day, but live in reality. You are not the best team in the AFC South. The record is what the record is. The Houston Texans showed you today that they're a cut above the Jacksonville Jaguars, period. I know that's painful to hear, and people don't want to buy that, but they are superior to your football team. That's just the bottom line. Hopefully the Jags can turn that around, but it's don't feel like the best team didn't win it this year, because they had everything fall their way and they couldn't take advantage of any of it.
The Houston Texans are wearing the hats today. They're the AFC
yes,
South champions.
They won the hat.
That's what they've won today. And I don't like reality.
But beyond the hat, it's not like it was a fluke today. They dominated
the performance
from start to finish in every aspect of the game.
They didn't leave it in somebody else's hands.
Right. It wasn't like, oh, man, the ball bounced a bunch of crazy ways and the referees bailed them out.
I don't like reality.
I know, but when you say they're literally the best team, there's no – you may literally have the best quarterback that is healthy right now in the division, but even then, Blake Bortles – leading the league in interceptions, okay? I mean, he's got to cut that down. He had a tremendous step forward this year, but he has got to now become a guy who can put up big plays on a consistent basis and not kill you by turning the football over, okay?
More precision, right?
The best ones can do it. Cut those interceptions down around 10 next year. Keep those touchdowns up in the 30s, then we're talking.
We'll take a timeout. More of your calls when we return. It's the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, your calls. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Some other games happening in the National Football League as we speak. Seattle over Arizona, 30-6. Is that right? Second quarter? 30-6. Wow. Carolina, 24-3 over Tampa Bay. That's inside of 2 minutes to play. Some other scores of games going on. Denver leads San Diego 7-6 in the two-minute warning. Halftime, Kansas City over Oakland, 14-10. And the Rams lead the 49ers 13-10 tonight. Minnesota at Green Bay for the NFC North.
There you have it. Let's get back to the phones. 355-NFL-1. Let's go to Bill in Jacks Beach up next here on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show.
Hey,
hi,
Mike.
Bill.
Hey, JB.
What's up?
I just want to say that I think when Gus and them guys got here, I had heard that a talent, someone that's very good at judging talent, if there were 32 teams, 31st team, if you said they were a 5, we were basically a 1. I'm not saying we're there yet, but if you, Mike, you said it, everything kind of broke for the Jags this year with the injuries at quarterback every week. They seemed like they were facing somebody that hadn't played in the league in a while. And at the end of the day, it's 5-11. But what I look for at the last game, they had a lot to play for, and they've been relatively healthy all year. And I think all it shows is they've come a long way to get close to the teams that are kind of trailing in the league. But I just want you to hear, I would take it off there. I just think they got a long way to go. I don't see it being next year. Possibly, I think they got 3 more years of working hard before they're going to be able to compete. I look at Houston Texans. Remember, Clowney didn't even play today. He's the number one pick. So if you compare Clowney and Fowler, who haven't played, I mean, imagine putting Clowney out there if he's playing up to his, you know, his potential. So there's everybody's going to get better, and I'll take it off.
All right, thanks. When you say everybody's going to get better, maybe everybody on the Jags, everyone around the league's trying to get better, though. That's the issue, and that's a great point about Clowney.
Yeah.
They probably look at right there because, well, he hasn't had the impact that a lot of people expect
right.
him to have.
Because he hasn't played against the Jags ever.
No, and that's part of it, you know. And it looked like at a point this year he was starting to come on, but they probably feel the same way. If this guy had been healthy from day one, how good could we be then? So – you're right. If they get him back fully healthy next year, the Jags get back Fowler, it's not like you're gaining any ground necessarily in that department. Bill, thank you for the call. Let us go to Bruce on the north side next up here on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, how are you all doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I just want to comment about this. I think one of you all stated that Shad Khan got out front and, you know, and keeping Bradley, that's going to serve him well. I don't see it because you still, at the end of the day, you're going to still have Gus Bradley, your coach, and he just doesn't have it.
No. Listen, Bruce, you're misunderstanding me. I said the decision to announce it is serving him well. Because otherwise, the time will tell whether bringing Gus Bradley back was the right choice. But the decision to not wait until after the season was complete, can you imagine what the heat level would be with the fan base firing Gus?
Time will tell. I think time is already told.
Well, maybe. But the fact is he's coming back next year. Yeah, so, you know, Bill Belichick was the coach of the Cleveland Browns first, and he failed. And that doesn't mean Bill Belichick didn't turn into be a great coach.
Do not compare him to Belichick.
Listen, all right, Bruce, I'll compare him to whoever I want, honestly. I mean, just seriously, call some other guy who's going to get pushed around by a caller. It ain't me. No, seriously. It's a simple comparison. Some guys start out poorly and turn into good coaches. That's the point I'm trying to make. I'm not trying to compare his resume to Bill Belichick, Bruce. Enjoy your offseason.
Let's take a timeout and get you a Snickers, and then we'll take some more calls.
I'm fine. You want to bring it? Bring it.
In our final segment of the season. The FanDuel Scoreboard Show wraps up for 2015's regular season after this on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, continues right now.
FanDuel Scoreboard Show, final moments for the 2015 season. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Let's get a couple more calls in before we call it a season.
Why don't we? Let's go to Mandarin. David, you're up next here on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. How you doing, David?
Okay, I've been a season ticket holder from day one and spent thousands on this team. And I was listening to the post-game interview there by Jeff, and Gus said the team played hard and gave good effort. What game was he watching?
Yeah, I don't know about
I don't know
that it did seem like an odd comment in the wake of that kind of performance. I'm not saying they didn't. We don't watch the film. Sometimes you can get beat and still, you know, give good effort. But
then again, he's not going to come out in a post-game interview and say, hey, this team didn't give great effort this year.
Yeah, but like, you don't have to say that they did either. I mean, unless you feel that way. I would assume Gus feels that they did give great effort today. And maybe they did, and that's just a sign of how far behind they are right
Possible,
now.
Yeah.
You know? But it did look like that, you know. Look, JP, I can't get inside these guys' heads and know how motivated they are or not, but man, it seemed like anytime Houston needed to run the ball in the second half, they just, here you go, Grimes, Blue, doesn't matter, just gut them. And that to me was as disappointing as anything on that side of the football, the way that Houston was able to just control and do whatever they
wanted.
They're
getting it 8, 9, 10-yard chunks at a time at one point.
Every time.
That's the demoralizing.
There's another 9-yard run, another 11-yard run. Ugh, yeah, that was bad.
That's the one where you just look away from the TV.
Let's get Leo in here to close out the year, actually, on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Leo.
Mike and JP, Happy New Year to you, gentlemen.
You too, buddy.
Year.
Yep.
And like I promised, I'm not going to come in here and try to ruffle your feathers on your radio show. If you just allow me.
You can, but I mean, anybody that doesn't understand the fact, I'm not trying to say Gus Bradley is going to turn into Bill Belichick. I'm saying that some guys start slow and turn around. There are countless examples of other guys who start slow and never turn it around. So that's it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I agree with you when you said this, Mike. I think Shad Khan just should, even if he was bringing him back and he knew he was, would have been nice to see him wait till this Tuesday to make that announcement, because I would have liked to see how Gus would have played, because he came out and he seemed like very carefree, I got my job, and maybe that wasn't his attitude at all. I'll say this, I was very disappointed. I hear a lot of people on the radio, a lot of, not saying you, some different talk show hosts, we need to get defense. I've heard Tony Bissett, defense. Hey, that offensive line has not arrived. Okay, if we've got 8 draft picks, we need to spend 2 or some free agents on a center. And I'm going to say something that's not very popular to say on Jaguars radio. Luke Jokel is not the answer at left tackle. Merciless was merciless against him today. Couldn't stop him at all. He's good. But a run blocker, I'd like to see them move him inside and maybe find a left tackle. And I'll say this before I go, before I end the season. I don't know how the meeting went with Shah Khan. I'm not a billionaire owner. I'm probably not that smart as Shah Khan, just a little bit. But I'll say this. There's not, everybody I hear say this too. What's the number? Do they make the playoffs? What is it, 10 wins? Is it 9? I'm going to give you 9 specifics. And even if nobody, if you're a fan and you say you want to see this team get better, is Gus Bradley the answer? He'll win these 9 games next year. We played 3 teams this year that we were 2-1 against. We played the Ravens, the Bills, and the Chargers. We went 2-1 against those. You need to beat every 3 of those teams next year. I'd like to see 4-2 in the division. That means you have to sweep somebody. I don't care who it is. If it's Tennessee, Indianapolis, or Houston, I need 4-2. I need 3 against those teams. That's 7. And then I need this thing to stop with the NFC. You need to go 2-2 at least in the NFC North next year. And that's 9 games. And maybe you'll luck yourself into a 10th. And I hope that happens next year. And you can't come out the gates losing those first 2 division games, because it's going to be hard to win 4 in a row. Guys, I appreciate you taking my call. Y'all have a great year. And it's a very disappointing game today. I was just disgusted watching it on all fronts. And I'm going to tell you, that hit that they hit on Radman Robinson, I don't know why that wasn't a defenseless receiver penalty, because that guy was flying through the air trying to catch the ball, and he gets drilled. But that's all I'm going to say about that. Have a good night.
Let's start on the offensive side, the play of Luke Joeckel today. By far his worst performance. I think that's clear, and we'll hear from Tony Boselli tomorrow night on Jaguars Monday more about that, I'm sure. But the biggest pressing issue on this team is defending the passing game, be it a pass rush, linebacker spots, back end, all 3 levels of the defense. You have to have some additions there, and I think that's the most pressing need overall for this football team. Yes, you're going to have some changes on the offensive line at some point.
But that's what
he's saying.
He's not saying go wholesale offensive line. He's saying, look, a couple of picks on the offensive line wouldn't kill them.
Yes, I agree with that. But the major focus still has to be defense.
Today the major focus was protecting your quarterback.
Today it was, yes.
Right.
But I think in the big scheme of things, the big focus is going to be defense. And yes, they will focus on protecting the quarterback. You have to protect that investment.
In terms of the 9-win formula, throw it out the window. Because, 9 wins, I don't know what the number is. Shot Khan's not going to put the number on it publicly. Maybe he doesn't even have one in his mind. He'll just know it when he sees it, whether it's good enough or not for him. But because, JP, year to year, things change. The teams you think are going to be good sometimes turn out to be the worst teams on your schedule, and vice versa. So I'm not going to say they've got to win this set. Win 10 games. I don't care who they come against. Win 10 games next year, and that would probably satisfy most Jaguar fans. It's a tall order, man. That's doubling your win total in one season. They're unable to double their win total coming off a 3-win season. Vegas would probably say the odds are against you doubling it to 10 next year.
For entertainment purposes only, of course.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yes. What other way is there?
None. It's been a great year, at least in our department.
We could be better.
I agree.
Yeah, we'll be better next
year. We'll work on it in the offseason.
Yeah, let's try to have a 16-0 pre- and post-game show next year, and then we'll let the team worry about what they do. All right?
Okay, we'll just handle our business next
year.
Yes,
handle our business.
Let's try that.
I like it.
Well done, Mike. And
Happy New Year.
I guess I'll see you tomorrow, probably.
I'll be around.
For Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening all year long. Jags fall 36, the final in Houston. They finished the season 5-11. That's it for the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.